Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Laborers for Christ Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering. As we wait for the rest of the class to get on board, I ask that you listen to the words of this song and let us prepare declarations unto the Lord based on those things that He is revealing to us in our studies. You want to read the Declaration? Get a computer on a piece of paper and down in that basket and find her. In the notes, the way it spoke. Are you going to read it? Okay, but do you need to get closer to the phone? It's time to do it now. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Just listening to the words of the song, we can see that we're not the only ones that have gotten in a place in our journey where the revelation of truth starts to bring a light on our path and cause us to see things the way they really are and to come to a truth only be revealed by Holy Spirit. And so as we see, we've done things over and over and they didn't happen again, and they may have a different person involved or a different place, a different focus, but it's the same principle that's underlying our emotions and our reaction to our situations that is not God honoring. And so we have come to that same place. Lord, no more cycle. We decree and declare, I did from the first week, we were all asked to start building up your group of declarations and decrees from the things that we're learning. And so we want to give you opportunity every week to share your own personal declaration. And so we're going to start with the November declaration for the church, and then we will have prayer, and then we can give our own personal declarations from the revelation and the truth that the Lord is revealing to us in our studies. So we will have the November declaration. Apostle?
Jehovah Barak, the Lord who prospers and blesses me. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse in the CSB version of the Bible. November prayer and declaration. Decree this prayer over your life for the month of November. I decree November will be a month of multiplication. I decree I will increase and grow exponentially. I pray according to Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of our ancestors, multiply you 1,000 times more. Multiply you 1,000 times more. And bless you as he promised. I confess the prayer of Jabez. If only you would bless me, multiply and extend my border. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will not experience pain. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. The CSB version of the Bible. I speak to the seed of revelation, information, and instructions planted in the womb of my spirit to mature and multiply. I decree for the month of November every God idea, dream, and vision on the inside of me will be perfected. It will grow and multiply according to God's divine timing for my life. I confess the name of God, Jehovah Barak, the Lord who prospers and blesses me, is bringing me into a season of perfected multiplication. I decree all that was demonically clipped from me, my house, my family, my faith, my friends, and my ministry will grow again. It will be perfected and multiplied this month in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The following scriptures are the scriptural support for the prayer and prophetic declaration. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 13th through the 14th verse. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will bless your offerings and the produce of your land, your grain, new wine, and fresh oil. The young of your herds and the newborn of your flock in the land he swore to your ancestors will be given unto you. You will be blessed above all people. Job 42 and 12, ERV version. The Lord blessed Job and multiplied him with even more than he had in the beginning. Hebrews 6, 13, and 14, the TPT version. Now, when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a son and multiply you without measure.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Apostle, for the reading of our November decree and prayer. And as we begin our session tonight, open up in prayer. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the power of the prophetic word and decree that has been placed and spoken over the church, Laborers for Christ, Word Life Center. And we prepare our hearts, Lord, now that we will not multiply the wrong and multiply the hurt, but we will multiply the grace and the mercy and the love, oh God, that you have given to us. So as we study, Lord, we say and desire you to search our hearts, oh Lord, and test us, know our anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the way of everlasting. Lord, we thank you for the word that gives us the direction that we need to go. We surrender ourselves, Lord, to the correction and the guidance and the counsel of the Holy Spirit so that what is multiplied in us will multiply the kingdom of the living God and all of the attributes of our divine Holy Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we present ourselves, oh God, at your table so that you might feed us and we might be nourished, and we may be perfected under the power of your word, O Lord, and the truth of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we thank you all for sharing and coming with us, sharing on your homework, in your studies, in your life work, in your life-changing pursuit and desire to receive healing from God. We had looked at last week some powerful words that we were given definition for. We want to keep those words before us as we remain in week two of the search for significance over day one and day two. And I believe day one and day two, and we will start with day three. We will start with day three, So if someone would just remind us of what are the things that we are looking for, what are the false beliefs that the author is starting with in this day two? Anybody? What are the two false beliefs that we went over last week? You can take your phones off mute to share. Everybody is on speaker.
Was it fear and failure?
Yes. Excellent. And what was the other one?
Fear and failure. Fear and failure.
Fear of failure, and that's wonderful. That's beautiful, and that's true. And that's what the first 2 days that we actually went into detail talking about dealt with, this fear of failure that comes as a result of the performance trap. Yes, Deacon?
Was it depression and stimulant?
Yeah,
okay, all of those were symptoms. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. And so we can, if nothing else, we will understand if we're functioning under the false beliefs, and we will find that periodically the author is going to ask you to write your feelings down. They'll give you a scenario. They'll give you a group of new situations, and they'll say, how do you feel about that? And you can look at those feelings. And you can trace it, whether it's under the truth of God or false beliefs. And so those depression, all of those D's, I forgot the other one we did, but definitely depression was one of the anger. That's the next couple. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But, yes, those were all symptoms of the performance trap and the way we try to, in perfection, perform so that we don't fail. And that truth is that, or that actually the false belief is that we believe we must meet certain standards to feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is going to lead us to try to perform in this perfected state just so we don't fail. Okay? And that's what we looked at last week, the fear of failure. We did day one and we did day two because we realized that in this failure, there are many things that we have are possible to be characteristics of a person that is operating under the fear of failure. And one of the things was withdrawal. One of the things was, anybody else can think of one? Minister Pittman should. She did day two, and it's a rule-dominated life. That's a whole set of standards based on a set of rules that you feel you must maintain or perfect in order to feel good about, give yourself value to feel good about yourself. And so we look at some of the emotions that come forth from this fear of failure. Is anger, resentment, worry, depression, as you said, Deacon, anxiety, and fear. And then that can turn into impatience, hostility, rudeness, and blaming. And so often these may be characteristics or identifiers of how we are responding to one another. And when people respond to you that way, this study is giving us an insight into the fact that we have to go beyond what we hear. We have to go into that which we have received revelation from and understanding. And so maybe this anger and this hostility and this impatience is because they're dealing with that fear of failure. And when someone is dealing with the fear of failure, they definitely need the love and acceptance of people around them to help them navigate through that and to embrace the truth of God, because God does have an answer. And so we just wanted to kind of set the foundation for going forth in week two. I know some of you didn't have your books yet. You haven't gotten them, and you've tuned in, and you wonder, what are they doing and what is going on? And so this is just a little summary of what we really have done so far. We are turning on the light in our souls so that the Lord will search us and reveal to us that which is offensive to him, not to people, but to him. And then when he sees it, Holy Spirit's job is to convict us, and our job is to receive that conviction, to embrace it, though it may be painful. Revelation of truth is often painful when we are looking in a mirror at ourselves and we can see the ugly that's in us. But the good thing about that is that it was placed there in the guise of a lie, and it does not have to remain there because God has a solution. And in week three, we're going to start looking at the solution that God has for the performance trap that is fed by the fear of failure. So we want to be more compassionate and more understanding and mindful of the people around us that maybe are always kind of rude and gruff, to turn them off. Oftentimes people, they fear failure, and so they keep from exposing themselves to the pain of failure. So we're not just talking about a fear, but this fear brings a pain, and we are not created to embrace pain. And so because of that, we build up all kinds of crutches and all kinds of defenses and try to solve this pain or alleviate this pain on our own, which God is saying, you don't have to do that, because you're trying to satisfy your flesh with the standards of life, and it will never work that way. But you can release it and get a truth that will uproot the lie if you will embrace it. If you will embrace it. And to do that, it takes five things. It takes time. I think it's something we kind of went through. It takes time. It takes honesty. It takes the word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. And it takes affirming relationships. And so those five elements will need to be worked into us. And this is what we're doing as we come together in a fellowship of affirming relationships. We've had such wonderful outpouring of truth and honesty among you on the line, and you shared some hurtful things, some deep things, some wounded things. You shared them. But you shared them in an environment of affirming relationships and people who are actually, a lot of us need to know that process exists in others, and then we will understand that the enemy separated us to make us think it was just me. And it wasn't. There were other people he was also deceiving and causing havoc and destroying their emotional health and peace. And so that really leads us up to, gives us a good outline of what we've done so far. What did anybody else receive further revelation from day one and day two? Okay. We're going to go right into day three. I know there's some of you have had your days for quite a while, but then you should have been able to allow the Lord to perfect your understanding of this and the revelation from it. So we're going to start with Pastor Bethel. You have day three, effects of the fear of failure.
Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
So I have day three effects of the field failure, and definitely something I hit home, very close to home. But even as going through and reading this, I realized that comparing the effects that they have outlined here in the book and some of the effects that I guess I personally experienced were different. So I'll mention some of the things that I experienced.
Okay,
along with
the book.
But just to kind of overview what they were talking about, it talks about perfectionism, avoiding risks and anger and resentment. And I was looking at, I never considered myself to be a perfectionist. Those, I guess, until it comes to certain things that I can kind of be really anal about. And one of the things, I guess, to a fault, and it can sometimes be frustrating, is writing. Whenever I write my plays and poems and whatnot, I can find myself being a perfectionist in that area, where it would kind of suffocate the joy and creativity. One of the ways that I write is that I... Holy Spirit would definitely download to me or either show it to me in a vision. He'll pretty much just give me what it is supposed to, you know, be, look like, sound like, and how it's supposed to impact the people. And I pretty much see it play out. And then when I go to try to write it, I feel like I always kind of come up against a wall, like, you know, it's not going to be received the way that he showed me. How can I, you know, I just kind of pick it apart a million times over instead of just being, okay, God, this is what you said. This is what is, you know, this is how I'm going to put on the paper. So in that era, I could see myself as definitely being a perfectionist and not wanting to fail. And I can say that I pulled away from writing because of a fear of failure. Because I feel like, you know, maybe I can't express it the way that he shows it to me. So I feel kind of inadequate in that area sometimes. So sometimes it could be frustrating when writing. And then when I just be like, okay, take a breath, put it down, go back, pray, trust God. And then it can just kind of flow out the way he shows me. But I end up having to go through this whole whatever I take myself through. In the beginning part. And then for some of these, well, for pretty much all of them, I just pretty much put down a scripture that kind of combats that area of perfectionism. And then for that one, I put Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I realized, I think one of the things was, it says choose one of the three problems resulting from a fear of failure. How does it affect your life? I would avoid taking assignments outside of my comfort zone and definitely withdraw. I was one to withdraw. I would shut down in a minute if I didn't feel like I could do it or didn't feel worthy enough to do it or whatever the reason was, I would be the one to avoid taking risks. If it's outside my comfort zone, if I haven't did that before, most times I can kind of pull myself up out of it. One of the things reading, going between the study, I realized that there was a difference between having a fear of failure and actually feeling like a failure.
Okay.
And so in times where I've had that fear of failure, it's just my perception of it, trying to do things in my own pride and, you know, in my own inadequacies, and not fully trusting God to do what it is he needs to do through me to bring it out. And I realized that. And so in those instances, I can kind of, you know, push myself to, you know, push past it. I can always push myself past it. In recent times, I've actually felt like a failure, which has been much more difficult to do, if I can say it like that. And so some of the effects of this has definitely been the anxiety. Haven't had an issue with pride. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've had pride issues. You know, not wanting, you know, help my things. You know, are you okay? Sure, yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. Peachy, all of that. One of the things that really hit me, though, was the depression, because I was like, okay, I'm not depressed. But then when I read it, and one of the things that came out was the generally depression is the body's way of blocking the mind's pain. It does this by numbing physical and emotional functions. And if that ain't nobody but me, I
wow.
can go numb, block pain, block out pain in a minute, or to have no effects. And I was like, wow, I never considered that to be a form of depression. So that was kind of enlightening to me. That was definitely eye-opening. I had a whole nother thought about depression in my head, and that wasn't it. I felt like if I can block it out, don't have to deal with it, then, you know, what's there to be depressed because I don't feel anything. And then, so I had the fear. I got a whole bunch of notes on my thing, so I'm trying to kind of go through it. low motivation.
No problem.
Just thinking. So they had. Oh yeah. So the low motivation. I could say I've had that. I've experienced that. So I made two categories, things that I felt under the fear of failure and things that I have felt as feeling like I failed or feeling like a failure. And the motivation was one of the things that I put under feeling like a failure, you know, not really wanting to do anything, not putting forth the effort, dropping assignments, dropping things that I was supposed to do, not really feeling up to it. Because I just feel like, you know, don't feel worthy to do it. It's not going to come out the way it should, so I'm not going to even try kind of thing. And then I realized that this whole fear of failure and failure thing, I just read what I wrote, but it intends to keep you from fulfilling the destiny that God has for your life, from living a joyful, spirit-led existence where you would give to others out of the overflow of love in your life. And that's kind of how I look at fear now, is that it's that thing that intends to keep me from fulfilling what God has for me, the destiny, the purpose, plan, calling, anointing, mandate, mantle that God has for my life. And really stopped giving it so much power over me and over the things that I did. So some of the symptoms that they had on here, I really didn't have to deal with chemical dependency. That wasn't an issue. My thing was, my drug of choice, I guess I would say that, was cutting. I was one that would be a cutter. And that, for me, was it acted as both a depressant and a stimulant. And it's ironic how it would be both. Yeah, I would do it to kind of numb areas that I felt like was hurt. I was horrible at dealing with emotional pain, so physical pain I had no issue with. And it would numb that out. But then it would also be that thing to help me kind of get through the next moment, through the day. Cutting was my kind of fivefold drug of choice, but thank God I was delivered from that a while ago.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And so, so I just have a bunch of scriptures that I wrote down for my declaration, the things that I would think on, believe, stand, and walk in God's truth. And that's Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you, be not dismayed. I will raise you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 17:7, where this was Jesus when he spoke to Peter, James, and John, yes, when he told them to rise and have no fear. And that script, I've seen it and I've read it multiple times, but seeing it now going through the field, it has a totally different empowering, encouraging meaning to me, to rise up and have no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear, knowing that Jesus is that perfect love. And what else I had over here? Philippians 4:6, be not anxious about anything, but in everything, but in every situation, prayer and petition, giving thanks, make your request known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding to keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So all of those things I have written down, and kind of letting that govern my life as I work through this season of feeling like a failure. And it especially in ministry-wise, I'm done.
Amen. That is such powerful sharing, such an honest, powerful testimony. And you brought out many points, and I was glad that you incorporated, you know, we looked up those, listened to the definitions of our words for the week. And I wanted us to be able to label something that's depressant and that's stimulant, that's not the typical thing. And you did that. Your Lord showed you different things that we don't think. And remember, we asked him to search our hearts and then to show us what is offensive to him. And that's what he does. And it's wonderful. It's like we need to understand that these fear ofs, okay, aren't in every area of our life. Some areas of our life have been delivered, we've been made whole, and we're going forth. But there are just other areas, which is why he says, we say search. In other words, the Holy Spirit has been working on us. He's always at work around us, God is. And he is revealing to us line by line, from glory to glory, from maturity to maturity. And as certain things and one thing or one area or some areas are brought into alignment with him, then he goes to the next thing. He doesn't try to make us address every issue that we got at one time, because other than sin, and that Jesus addressed for us, and that's the only thing that is doable for us, to make that one choice for all of our sins. But I appreciate your candor and the details that you share and the insight of what your walk looks like. We can read the book and we can read the author's explanation and his examples and the situations that he is basing, you know, some of his writings on, but we are able to translate that into our own and then come up with the same results that he did, and that is that we were in a place that our worth was based on something other than the truth of God. So thank you so much. Anybody's revelation comments? inspiration. Even though these have been assigned to certain people. Yes, go ahead. Go. Yes.
I just want to say thank you, Pastor Mathale, for your honesty and truth. And I have found that to be my problem, fear of failure, and a lot of things you said. And it just was a truth and a revelation. And just thank you so much.
Amen.
Oh,
well, Pastor Mathale, my thing also, even with depression, most of the time we deny it. So we go into denying, and that's what doesn't heal us, because if you don't believe that you have it, and you go through the process of learning something that you didn't know or you didn't believe, and you see that behavior in yourself, that's when you can be healed. Because I definitely wouldn't have never thought I would have been depressed until Apostle led me Tuesday for the assignment. And when I studied on it, I realized that everything was fitting right, what I was going through when my husband passed. And even now, sometimes we go through thinking that we have learned something one way, but as we grow in grace, I say, as we grow in the Word of God, we find out that what we learn from the world system is something totally different. And you had a lot of that what you were going through. And
amen.
The first step was to be honest and let it out of her. And I just thank God for being able to come together and share what we have on the inside. When we can let go and let God receive it, we can come together and discuss it and talk about it and be free. That we don't have to go back and run and tell, ooh, look at this and all of that. So I just thank God for the what Overseer, what you're doing with us. And we know we're looking to God, but he has blessed us with you. So I thank you for that, Pastor, because a lot of times, because we have titles, we don't want no one else to know that we're weak. But where we're weak, God is strong.
Stay strong, Amen. Amen. Awesome. Amen. Encouragement. Yes, I would like for all
definitely.
Of us to always remember there's five elements into our healing. There's five. And if anyone is missing, okay, then your process is not going to be as effective as it should be. And she hit all five. Time, the Word of God, Holy Spirit, affirming relationships, and honesty. That's what we're building on. That's what God needs us to build on. Anybody else?
I was just very encouraged when I started day three. I actually wanted to close it by the time I got to the second paragraph. But where it says on the side, recognizing the symptoms and fear of the fear of failure could change your life. It really does, because when you think it comes from the root of it is one thing. Just as you share, and as I shared and saw insight, it was shared with me more what the root of fear of failure is. And that was just extremely eye-opening, because where you think you don't have little idols and these things, to think that I have made an idol out of other people and what they think to the point where it paralyzes me was an eye-opener. And enjoying the process of being healed and delivered from that mentality. And that false entrapment that I allowed myself to get into.
Amen. I like that. False entrapment. I like that. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
I was encouraged, and I thought it was thought-provoking, her analogy of saying fear of failure and feeling like a failure. And being able to differentiate the two, and then to just kind of go back for myself, to go back and contemplate that a little bit more, because, you know, that failure piece of this study is one of the challenges for me. And so fear of failure, and then when I was looking at feeling like a failure, to understand that that's the fruit of anxiety, and then begin to go back and deal with that anxiety and that feeling like a failure. That was one of the things that was revealed. And then just the fear of failure, you know, going back and looking at that, what is my fear, you know, feeling like a failure. And one of the scriptures that came to mind, and I'm going to share it because it's, I think it's indicative in both scenarios, day three and day four, the scripture that came to mind is that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And understand that my goodness or my success or whatever it is, it only comes through the righteousness. That righteousness only comes through what Christ is. And I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So that's one of the things that I have to, you know, constantly tell myself when I'm going into that avoidance, when I'm, you know, trying to go in that hole, when I'm trying not to be seen, or, you know, things of that nature. So I too am appreciative of Pastor Bethel's openness, you know, and sharing her testimony, and then giving the scripture and scriptural foundation as to what she has to stand on to. So thank you.
Amen. Well, you can just continue on with day four. If there be no other comments. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Fidel, for that that comment. I also suffer from fear of failure, and I also suffer from fear of success. You know, having that feeling of unworthiness, you know, tasks that God has given me, and I know that he has given it to me, and just avoiding it. You know, to the point where I'm just fearful to even just begin to even work at it, you know, just having that fear of judgment behind it, you know, that it's not done in perfection. And I know that everything that I do it to the best of my ability. You know, it's stagnating at times for me. You know, because I failed at so many things in my life, you know, and I just don't want this to be another thing that I feel that I may not be successful at, you know, but I definitely can identify with that. Thank you for your honesty. I was just planning on just being on the line and listening, but this conversation just was so intriguing, and it was just pulling on me, and I was like, wow, God, you know, I'm just avoiding the line and the call and just, you know, everybody and everything, you know, because I'm just at this fearful place, and, you know, I just back myself up into that corner, you know. But I just thank God for our overseer, for apostle, just, you know, going this route with us, because, you know, having that pride and of who you are and that title, you know, we suffer too, you know, we're people too. And a lot of times, because we have these titles and different positions, we suffer in silence, you know. I know I do. Mm-hmm. I suffer in silence, not wanting to let the next, you know, or my leader know exactly what it is, or even letting my leader know exactly what it is, you know. Thank you. Just thank you so much for that. This has just opened up a whole new avenue for me, you know, because I have to get this stuff out and process these things, you know, the way that God wants to process, you know, and more so with the word of God. You know, that's what's going to give me that power and that authority to overcome. The word says we're overcome by our testimony. You know, and I'm just thank you. That's all I have.
Amen. Anybody else? This is your opportunity. This is your time. Yes.
Hi. Well, I'm glad I saw one of the people in the class the last couple of weeks and no idea what you guys are talking about. And so I got the book, and so I did start reading some about week two, day three, and I'm trying to go back and read some of day two and day one. But just listening to the people on the line tonight, what they were saying, connecting some of those things from last week, you know, about fear. I didn't quite understand the grip that fear has over us and how it impacts our life on a daily basis. I remember my daughter graduated from the U of I, and the president of the university spoke at the graduation, and he said he prayed that we go out and fail. And so the graduates, and everybody looked like, did you say that? Because he said, I know most of your parents are saying, you send your kids to school here, and you want them to go out there and be successful. He said, but in order to be successful, you must understand how to fail first.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't quite understand it until now reading this book, what he was talking about, because it is something that can we have to conquer, because when we conquer our fears and our failures and realize it really can launch us into our next, our success, because once you realize the value of it and what it does, because at some point you have to say, you know what, I'm not going to let this take me down. I'm going to overtake me, because the bottom line, it has, and in my own case, in my own life, as I'm reading this book in these days, I'm looking like, well, where has it impacted my life at? And I just used something most recently, the passing of my husband, you know, being with this person for 41 years, you know, since I was 15, and I got there at 18, and having a life with this person, and all of a sudden that's just gone. And there's nobody really to explain, you know, what that feels like. You don't think people get it, and everybody's looking to you to see how you're going to go forward. And so the fear of failing at going forward alone is very, very, very present in my life in terms of affecting some of the decisions that I've made or decisions I did not make. Because the way I would have jumped out and did it, you know, had he been here, having his two cent in and his word of wisdom say, hey, go do it, we can do it, and knowing we can do it together, having that backup and not having it is like, okay, now you start second-guessing yourself. Can I do it? Should I do it? Then you're asking other people, and I know Paul's talking about, you know, having all these different voices in your head. Everybody got an opinion. You should do what you should not do, and eventually you listen to all those voices, and then you become so inundated with all these different voices and opinions, you stop doing anything, and you just, like, do nothing. So now you've yielded to failing. And then she's okay, I failed because I failed not to do anything. I failed not to move forward. You know, I thought staying still meant success. It really doesn't. You're not going forward in your life. God, the reason why God has kept me still here is there's some work for me still to do. That's why we all are here. Time was up, and we had did our assignment, then we all would be out of here. But the fact that we're still here, there's work to do. So, but my thing is trying to face that fear of stepping out into the unknown and doing it alone. Even though we know we're not alone, we have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, but in the human part of us know that that person is not there. And we know that people, our loved ones, the answer, are cheering us on to go forward, but getting over that fear of, one, you know, being alone, two, if you step out, mess up, what happens to you? What will people say about you? Oh, see, she should have did this, she should have did that, you know. Well, they're going to say that either way. Yeah, we just can't stop what people's opinions are anyway. But the not knowing just puts us forward and saying, but what if? What if you step out and you do something that you've never done before or you obey what God told you to do? What if?
Okay.
Because the enemy knows you go out there and you do it, you get success, then you'll say, okay, I can do that. I can do that again. I can keep doing it again. So when fear comes up and brings anxiety to you and tell you can't make it, you're too old, things are happening. You know, someone told me in one of the books, 100 things that white people do that black people don't do. And one of them is that when we turn 50s and 60s and 70s, we think about dying. They think about running for president. Damn, they're taking women. That's why President-elect can be 78 years old, because he had a mindset, okay, I ain't thinking about dying. I'm thinking about going to become president.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to change our mindset. So I thank you, too, for this book. And it's an eye-opener. And we're going to have it for a short time.
Amen.
Read it, chapter, but it's definitely an eye-opener.
Well, amen. 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 Wonderful. And revelation that God has given us so we have an understanding even of one another and that we can be more loving and more compassionate, more tolerant, more long-suffering. So, Apostle?
Yes.
You got it. You go get your day today.
Well, bless him. Well, bless him. Okay, let's do it.
Cause you, don't rush it. Don't rush it. We really have to 8:30, so it's not a problem.
Okay.
Okay.
So day four, driven to please people, which like Pastor Bethel was very appropriate for me. And as I began to read it, the need for approval. That need for approval. And so as I was reading it, I started writing in the column, I'm the sixth of nine children.
Uh-huh.
And the desire to be approved by my mom came with that position or that number six, being in the middle. Mom had kind of had all of the children before me. By the time she got to me, okay, I'm tired. I don't want to be bothered. And then having to look at those who were younger than me. So I was always doing things to try to get her attention. Like the scripture that it gave, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth.
Yeah.
But as for me, the nearness of God is my good, and I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of your good works. And so, you know, in reflecting and going back, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost at 13 years old and really, really just focusing my attention on God, but there was still that undercurrent of needing the approval of my mama, and then going into, you know, a woman minister in a Baptist church and seeking approval from the pastor and seeking approval, you know, from the church and all of these things that added to it. And then, you know, now really, really undergirding and learning that the approval or that first and foremost that I'm the righteousness of God, so that I'm not dealing with that shame and the other things that we talked about in the previous days. One of the things that I had down here, how others' expectations of me affect me. That was good for me because I began to write down, you know, my mom or my parents. I thought about, you know, my children, needing the approval of my children. I did not realize it until I went through domestic violence and I felt like I had, you know, somehow failed them in my choice of a husband and what they had to endure. I still deal with it somewhat with my daughter because my daughter graduated high school with a 4.0 grade point average. She did not go to college because she felt like she needed to be at home to protect me from my husband. And so now looking at her and some of the things that I feel like she could have accomplished, I deal with that guilt, that shame, everything, you know, and constantly have to remind myself, you know, I'm constantly apologizing or trying to do things for her because she made this exceptional, you know, a lack of decision on my behalf. And so, and then I had to put down God. I had to, you know, put down God because, you know, wanting to be perfected in him, but in all of these things that I feel like I've done and I failed at, then, of course, I feel like, you know, you start feeling like, well, I must have failed God. And so my inability to give and receive love, you know, in that withdrawal, you know, I don't want to fail people, so I end up withdrawing from people. It really, really, that came out for me when Hosey passed away. I found myself, I didn't want to make friends. I don't want anybody to get that close to me again because, you know, I don't want to lose you. I don't want to, you know, go through all of this and all of these things that we deal with in our own mindset. But one of the things that God told me, even in the how others' expectations of me affect me, the scripture that came to mind, God said that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. and that I have
yes.
to understand and know that his job is to always accuse me. His job is to always make me feel insufficient. And of course, the way to make me feel most insufficient is to get those who I respect or who I love the most, you know. So that comes through the upper tier in the AEN or those who I work with in ministry, the other apostles and the other bishops and things of that nature. So dealing with that, and then that's where, you know, the scripture came in. I'm trying to think of what else. But because he's an accuser of the brethren, I cannot be ignorant to Satan's devices. That's what God
yes.
told me, was that you can't be ignorant. You got to know the tactics and the strategies that the enemy is going to use, because
yes.
he knows the depth of, oh my God,
yes.
the depth of
yes.
the anointing that resonates in you.
Yes.
So he said that you can't be ignorant to this devil who is an accuser of the brethren. You have to know that his strategy is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he's out to do. He's out to kill, he's out to steal, and he's out to destroy. Then the scripture says, but I came, my God, but I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so those were some scriptures that was coming to mind when I was, you know, reading it. So just looking at it, knowing that that God loves me, you know, going back to 1 John 4:9, which is another scripture that they put, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another.
Yeah,
and we start talking about, you know, our fear of giving and receiving love. If he loved you, God so loved you, you have a responsibility to love others, you know, and you cannot have this wall up, you know, that people can't get close to you because of whatever, the trickery of the enemy. I got to go back to, because his job, again, he's an accuser of the brethren, and I have to be mindful of the devices that he's trying to use to get me to that place of not knowing and understanding who I am in God. You know, avoiding people because of your fear of rejection, not really wanting to get close to people. Now, I will, as I begin to look at that and kind of meditate on that, I love people. I'm very personable. But, you know, so it's easy for me to hug you, to embrace you, you know, at church, to hug you, embrace you at conferences. But it ain't going too much deeper than that. And so God had to begin to deal with me like, you know, and it was in my face. So I do. I want to embrace you. I'll mail you a card, but, you know, when it comes to in-depth conversations, you know, and so that's why pastoral care was something that I really feel like God was calling me to, because now you've got to go deeper than just your surface. You can't just have a surface relationship. You got to have conversation with people. You got to be able to listen to what they're going through and things of that nature. So this was very, very not bowing to peer pressure, you know, experimenting. I liked how Pastor Bethel was talking about, you know, her coping mechanism. Her coping mechanism was, you know, cutting. My coping mechanism is withdrawal, TV binge, and food. These are the things that I do to cope with rejection, to cope with, you know, whatever it is that I'm dealing with. You know, I just kind of withdraw and, you know, do things that are really, really not, what can I say? It's not bringing to an advantage. It's not, you know, furthering what God has in me. And so I withdraw that way. One of the things that I find myself doing now, because I'm not ignorant to Satan's devices, and I think I shared with the church for what we did with the community day. The enemy was whispering all kind of things in my head, you know, and I had to literally talk myself like off a ledge, because I understood, I knew that this was the enemy. And so I began to say, okay, God, what are you saying? You know, what should I have done? And I began to allow Holy Spirit to override what the enemy was feeding me.
Yeah.
The voice of the Holy Spirit began to override what he was saying, and he began to tell me, okay, let's look at it from this aspect. First of all, you did do this, you owe the church. And these were healthy ways for me to begin to do with it, because it equipped me, it sharpened me, it made me better. Now, I could have went the negative way and not showed up that Sunday. I could have went the negative way, but I did. I began to actually adhere to what the Holy Spirit was saying, and left there, you know, that Sunday after feeling rejuvenated, rejoicing, ready to start jotting down, writing what we're going to do for next year. I was encouraged. And so, you know, just understanding that as we're reading through them, as we're reading through this book, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit again to be our teacher, allowing him to show us, you know, another way. There's another way for you to go with this, that you can still, you know, be successful. Even with God was telling me that, you know, when I started, oh, God, I failed. And God was like, no, you didn't fail. You didn't fail first and foremost because you were obedient and you did what I told you to do. And in that obedience, now let's go back and look at some of the other things or the other areas where your fear of caused you not to go further. So my fear of failure caused some things, and I'm not going to go into detail with it, but it caused some things to happen, and God began to show me, you didn't call this person, you didn't touch bases with your apostle, you did, and so things of that nature. So I began to sit and write and jot, and so I'm still working on it. I am a work in progress. God is doing and progressing me further and further every day, and casting down vain imaginations. Casting down vain imagination that exalts it over the will and the purposes of God. And so casting down all his imagination, when the enemy comes and whispers those chattering voices that's in my ear, I have the authority to cast down. Watch this. When those vain imagination comes from even within yourself, your own view of you. My God. Your own view of you.
Amen.
Jesus.
Allowing the Lord to come in and begin to say with loving kindness, I drew you.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he said, I know the plans. I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. When he told Jeremiah, I knew you before your mama and your daddy came together. I knew you and I had thoughts for you. You know, all of those things. Yeah. The Holy Spirit was working. Now it's a matter of, if I can be honest, because it's one thing to read through this book, it's one thing to jot it down, but it's another thing to put it in action. And so now God, help me put this in action.
Yes, yes.
So that I can be all that you have caused me to be. And so that's what I got out of day day four. Amen.
Yes,
thank you so much. I appreciate healing in progress. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Anybody have comments, revelations, insight, questions? What a wonderful, wonderful presentation of the process. My God, once we see that it is a process and how it goes, and it's okay to be in the process, okay? And we don't have to hide it. We don't have to lie about it. We don't have to avoid it. Just rest in the process and let him do what he needs to do with us. Excellent. Mm. Anybody else?
I had that same idea. I had that same thing. With the,
man.
And all my friends know it. Me in that elevator.
Okay.
I have to whoop that elevator, and then when I get to whooping, then I can finish out whatever we have to do the rest of the time. The retreats and things, it doesn't bother me, but I have to tell the devil to get on that elevator.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Anybody else?
I just thank God again for her honesty and truth, and both of them for fear of failure and now approval addict and all of that, and just being honest in this season. knowing that you can't lie anymore. You got to be real and truthful and then deal with the progression of where God mm-hmm. is taking you to the next level. But if you allow the enemy to come and steal your peace and joy, to come to steal, kill, and destroy you without going forth and dealing openly and sincerely mm-hmm. and submitting and surrendering and being obedient to what he's doing in this season. And to pick up this book, again, is different than the years, and I think I've been in this ministry a long time, but it's different now because you're able to now be open to receive and hear. And it is really a good work, but you have to not just work it, but just hear the Lord and surrender to him. So thank you, Apostle.
Amen. AP, oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? Wonderful, wonderful.
Well, I like to say something to Apostle KP because we were her team, and I'm glad that she didn't feel like she had failed because God just allowed all of us to learn some things. It wasn't a failure in the first place because we all came together, and there was so much love out there. That's what I view. When I seen everybody out there, we knew what the day was going to be like according to the weatherman. But there was so much beauty and joy out there, and I just really enjoyed it. And, you know, trying to get the material was hard because the hospitals didn't have anything. But on the day before, I called my partner, and she said, I ordered something for the company in January, and we never opened it. There was a whole box. So, you know, God worked. Whenever we can be still, God will work for us. And that was what she just shared with us, that we must become doers what we're learning. We got to do it. So I just know the blessing comes when we allow God even to do it within us. So I thank you, and I thank everyone for what I'm hearing on tonight. Because if everybody know what I'm going through now, hallelujah, I can't do nothing but trust in God. And he just said, give me thanks and give me praise. And then he said, amen, there's nothing in the world about him. So I'm just amen thanking God and praising him for this new journey.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Wonderful comments, insights, sharing, openness, fellowship, fellow sharing. That's what it is, fellow sharing. Amen. Is Elder Roberta still on the line? Okay, she is going to lead us off next week with day 5, finally, of week 2. And then we're going to go into week 3. And for week 3, we wanted to kind of give some assignments out so that you can be preparing at least for day 1, the week 3 summary and words and scripture, and then our day 1, the truth, the source of truth. We would like for Minister Pat to bring us our insight from the source of pay. So who wants to do our words, our definitions? We'll take volunteers to do the definition of our words. Got a lot of people on the line. Somebody jump right in there. I wish I knew who was on the other end of some of these numbers. Is Sister Tamika, Minister Tamika, on the line?
This is Minister Brenda.
Oh, Mr. Brenda. Okay.
I'll take the definition.
Okay, Mr. Brenda, thank you. All right. Do we have Evangelist Saunders? Are you on the line? Okay, Evangelist Narvella, we're going to give you the scripture. It's Romans 5 and 1. Romans 5 and 1. Evangelist Narvella. All right. So I don't want to go too far ahead because, you know, you may be lingering real long. But we do want to, and you're going to probably read beyond day one on week three. So the forgiven and fully pleasing. And the one I'm really excited about is the reality of righteousness and the reality of redemption. Who wants to take that? The reality of righteousness and the reality of redemption. Don't be shy. And don't be thinking, well, I had a day already. I should just be. I hear you chuckling.
I'll say the reality of righteousness.
All right.
Talk to KP.
Oh, I got you. All right. Anybody else willing to jump in with 2 feet?
No.
Then we got motivation for obedience. Motivation for obedience. It's going to be a very powerful time of reflection. And you know what? I want everybody to do that and everybody be ready to respond to any one of these. This is for everybody. Anyone. I'm going to go and find out who these phone numbers are, too. And because I want you to be able to respond to every, they ask you questions. They tell you to write different things. They tell you to draw a picture. Okay.
Yeah.
And all of the interactive exercises they have on the motivation for obedience, everybody is going to be responsible for. That's day three and then day four. That's everybody. More reasons for obedience. Okay? That's everybody. All right, then.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I heard, you know what, Pastor Diane? You, I know it may be a while getting to you, but we're going to get to you. You're going to do the, I think it's day five, poor reasons for obedience. Poor reasons for obedience. Poor. Bad.
Okay. Day five.
Yep. Day five, Pastor Diane. All right. Okay, everybody. Apostle Shanae, you want to share with anything? Then you could close us out in prayer.
that we would allow the Spirit of the living God to heal us, Lord.
pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we go through this process with you again, we pray, Father God, that we would allow the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to reveal to us, Lord God, the areas of our lives, Lord God, that need a deeper infusion of your power, of your love, of your mercy, of your grace. And we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that the people that would gather on this line, Lord, would feel together, Lord God, that we would be able to move to the next place together, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that this is a safe place, Lord God, to heal. I thank you that you are a great physician, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that the spiritual prescription, Lord God, that Holy Spirit is releasing unto each of us, Lord God, that we would be faithful and diligent, Lord God, to take it, to follow it, Lord, to adhere to it. Thank you, Lord God, for such a great love. Thank you that your love covers and your love heals us. It redeems us, and we bless you for the process. Thank you for these people that you would trust us, Lord God, to breathe their son up and to breathe with it. And then we thank you, Lord, for the blood that covers and heals and redeems.
Amen.
We pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you
amen.
All.
Amen.
Don't forget, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.